Well, you're very welcome to this edition of Time Out with me, Stephen Gleeson, where a lot of sports stars reflect on their time in sport across this period here in 2021, as we're still in lockdown in Ireland. So looking back across the years, this week's guest is Charlie McGeever. And Charlie played League of Ireland soccer and then managed in the League of Ireland with Finn Harps before moving down to Tipperary and becoming the minor football manager leading Tip to the All-Ireland in 2015, and then working alongside David Power to secure the Munster senior title in 2020. And Charlie is with me now. How you doing, Charlie?
Not so bad, Stephen. Good to see you again, Stephen.
Charlie, you've had a wonderful career, and as part of the Tip management team at the moment, it must be tough during this lockdown period because you're not getting a chance to work with your players in 2021 the way you'd have liked.
Yeah, probably, Stephen. But you know what? I'll correct you first. I haven't had a wonderful life. I'd say that I've had a very mixed bag, Stephen. I've had, like most sports people, you have your up days and your down days. And there's certainly been plenty of ups and certainly been plenty of downs as well, I suppose. So, you know, that's what makes the ups probably the greater, because you've had the other experience. But in relation to where we are, look, we've been very lucky, I would still feel, as sports people, to have gone through the period that we had last year, I suppose, Stephen, that, you know, when the ordinary person in the street was struggling and having to stay in lockdown for the length of time they did since last March, you know, we anybody involved in sport and certainly involved in the GAA to the extent we were, had the privilege, I would say, regardless of whether you were successful or won or didn't win, we had an outlet there to get out and be outside and be involved in something that we love doing, which is coaching and developing players. And I think I was in a very privileged position during the year. So that the small period of lockdown since Christmas to now, as much as it's an inconvenience, you know, I would have said that we compared to the ordinary person in the street, have had the privileged position of being able to do other things. And, you know, at my stage of life now, being in the house, being stuck in the house isn't something I'd like to be. And having the avenue of going up to Thurles, you know, maybe 3 to 4 times a week during the winter when we were in competition was a godsend, to be quite honest.
And Charlie, this time of COVID, I suppose, is a time of reflection. And for you, you're probably getting that the last few months, reflecting on the win that you had last year and looking back, I suppose. And it's something that everyone is doing right now, is reflecting, really. And like we've had so long to do that.
We have, Stephen, correct. And I suppose we found ourselves in a very different... COVID had obviously affected every group, every sport differently. And we were no different to that. And I suppose we would feel that after with the COVID situation, it strengthened our hand big time, Stephen, probably is what I would say. I remember after the county final, going up to training in Thurles for the first night that I met with David and Paddy and the rest of the group up there, Joe and the rest. And they were flat out with the group that were there. But that group at the time was limited because the commercial lads and the Loughmore lads and those weren't in because we were in county final duty. And the group was small. And as we went through the league, like we had a lot of holes to fill in the organization, I think, in terms of the group. And we kind of found the going hard for, you know, in the first section of the league. But after lockdown, when we came back out, we showed a great improvement because the group was different and the dynamic was different as well. And, you know, people like Michael Quinlivan in particular came back from holiday duty, came back into us. We had Liam Casey coming back in, who hadn't been involved in the squad. And of course, then we had Colin Reardon coming back in from Australia, having played over there. So those and others that came in really added to the group. Coleman Kennedy got fit. We finished up with a much stronger group of players to work with post-COVID, as opposed to post-lockdown. And we had the ground running and they gelled very well. And I think that the fruit of their labour was seen in winning the Munster title in particular and getting to the All-Ireland semi-final stages. And I think that for that group, it's something that's been well-deserved because they were there before in 16, but that group is a group of players that are an exceptional group of players for Tip, as far as I'm concerned, I suppose, probably as good a group as they've had over the years. And they deserve where they're at the minute, and hopefully they can stay there for a period longer, Steve.
Great stuff. And Charlie, I suppose we're going to look in this show here in Time Out and reflect back on your life. So you're a household name in Tipperary, but the accent is so distinct at this stage. You grew up in Donegal. Tell us a little about your early years.
Yeah, Stephen, look, I suppose the Donegal accent is, I think, is well watered down at this stage, but it's probably still a little bit there. It gets stronger when I get the draw to home, which unfortunately doesn't happen often enough, Stephen. I'm a long way from home now. I'm probably from as far north as you can go, northwest Donegal. Born in Glasgow, but came to live in Ireland shortly after that, and reared in the Gaeltacht in Donegal in a place called Derrynconner. It's a small village, a small townland outside the village of Gortahork. So in Irish territory, I suppose, Irish speaking territory, I look out the back from the house and you see Tory Island, which is out in the sea out behind us, but it is quite remote. So I suppose Clonmel, where I am now at the minute, is certainly not as far more populated than there. So I grew up there, one of four children, and went to my local secondary school, where I fell in love with sport, where I had some great mentors. I had two priests there, Father Michael Sweeney, who was the soccer mentor that I had, which he was a big man into the soccer in Donegal at the time, and Father Sean Gallagher, who's still involved with Donegal GA. So both sports would have been very strong in the local secondary school, and loved it there. So played my soccer and Gaelic football during that time. We won all Ireland under 14, under 16 soccer tournaments, you know, from a very remote school, and in Gaelic football, we'd won the McLaren Cup, and which is the equivalent of the B competition in Gaelic football in Ulster. So, you know, quite a good upbringing there from that point of view, and immersed in sport and well looked after from the school's point of view, and indeed from the club's point of view. The club would be as well, or Club Clonmel would be an intermediate club, not one of the bigger clubs around Donegal, but at the same time, still a very good club for producing underage players. So, as I say, well mentored, I suppose, in the early days, Steve.
And Charlie, did you have to pick soccer or Gaelic football at that age? Or how did you come to go between, we'll say, your school days at secondary level and on to play League of Ireland football with Sligo?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose it's a little bit different in Donegal, Stephen, to elsewhere. Soccer and Gaelic live in harmony in Donegal and always have, I suppose, because the two sports are intertwined for everybody. If you were in Donegal, I suppose, if you were living in Donegal, you'd understand it. While I was Harps manager, for example, Finn Harps manager, the crowd that would go there on a Friday night, three quarters of that crowd would turn up on the Sunday for Donegal's GA matches. You had the soccer field, Finn Park on one side of the river, and McCool Park on the other side of the river, and that you would actually see three quarters of the same people would still be there the following weekend for the Gaelic matches. So they're very comfortable with playing Gaelic and soccer. So it was never a question of one or the other. We were encouraged actually to play both from an early age, and I think it would show. Donegal players are generally good footballers, they're good ballers, I suppose. Now that can be good or bad, but essentially, for sure, it works both ways, you know.
So did you play a little with Donegal at that stage, or did you kind of specialise towards soccer?
Yeah, well, I suppose I played both up until the end of school days. On my final year, I suppose, sixth year in school, I've been fortunate all my life, Stephen, to be involved in some exceptionally strong groups of players. And that year, in my final year at minor level or youth level in soccer, we had this exceptional group of players. And in school, we won the Senior Cup in terms of colleges. And then I played with Fannage United in soccer. Father Michael Sweeney was the manager of that team as well as the school team, and we won the FAI Youth Cup, which was, you know, quite a big achievement, I suppose, as only one team will win it every year. And at youth level, at that stage, all the best teams were in Dublin and Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne and so on. So we beat Athlone Town in the semi-final. We beat Shelburne in the final 3-1 in Donegal. So that kind of opened the avenue to soccer for quite a number of that group, and quite a number of that group moved on to League of Ireland football after that. The best known would have been a fella called John Michael Wayne, who went on to play for Finn Harps for a number of years after that. He was actually some baller. But I suppose we're all seen then. We had been seen by League of Ireland managers. And Patsy McGowan at the time was manager of Sligo Rovers. He was a Donegal man. He'd been manager of Finn Harps for quite a number of years before that. And he came calling, and I decided to give it a go. I was at that stage just finishing first year in Thomond College in Limerick. So Sligo wasn't such a big hop as going back to Donegal every weekend to play. So that's when the League of Ireland journey started.
So you took up a place in Thomond in Limerick, which essentially is PE teaching, I suppose, and then travelled up to Sligo at weekends to kick ball. And was that like, would you be paid a bit for that? Like, was it semi-professional, professional? What standard were you playing in the League of Ireland even?
Yeah, we were. Look, I suppose Sligo would have been one of the better teams at the time. There was only the one division competitive at the time. We would have been semi-professional, obviously. I was still in college. But yeah, I was getting a few pounds for college, which was great, Stephen. I was in the privileged position of being able to get myself through college with that in mind. And I can tell you it was a great help. But the travel was huge because I wasn't driving and you were travelling by bus or by train to get to League of Ireland matches wherever you could. Or in general, I was on the thumb. Now, you wouldn't be doing it now, but I used to hitch quite a bit around the country. I'd been well known for being on the road at all hours of the day and night, to be quite honest, because I go home to the northwest Donegal before I'd travel back down to Sligo for the match on the Sunday. But Sligo were going well, and then I suppose that year that I went there in 80-81, we finished fourth in the league, and we got to the cup final. We lost to Dundalk in the FAI Cup final that same year. So, we had quite a good season.
What position were you playing, Charlie?
I went from left full to left field, I suppose, between the two at that stage. I had an advantage, Stephen, I suppose, like everybody else that went to Thomond. Thomond, if you go back to then, which is like the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, you know, quite a long time ago, professional sport was not a huge thing in Ireland. The professional training was not a huge thing in Ireland at the time. And being in college, you were essentially a professional athlete in Thomond College. Thomond College was what it was. It produced coaches and PE teachers who were training every morning and every evening of every week. And you got to a point where you were just continuously training, I suppose, and training in a manner, Stephen, that was the proper manner. Like, I mean, you were managing your workload. You were doing things that other people wouldn't be doing. So one of the great advantages, I suppose, I would have had over others at that stage would have been my fitness, like, more than anything else. Because, as you know, League of Ireland at the time was very much part-time for everybody. They would have been training maybe twice a week and then playing at the weekend. So that you know, college grounding for me was excellent, really, in the position I was in, the privileged position I was in.
Yeah, that's cool, because I just working on a Tipperary game in my life. The book, Michael Ryan made a really interesting point about being involved with the Tipperary hurlers as a young player, where, you know, the famous Paddy Dial used to have them, and he'd just tell them, sit down and talk about the game, talk about hurling, you know, where it is, where you're going. I presume you had that really in Thomond, where it was a training ground for ideas within sport. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say, yes, absolutely. Dave Weldrick would have been in charge of the Gaelic football setup there. Dave passed away a couple of years ago. Heavily involved, would have been managing the Thomond team, the famous Thomond team a couple of years before us with Spillane, that would have won the Club All-Ireland. Outside the box thinking, I suppose, being a big part of it. And Dave Mahidi would have been there in my time, who went on to be involved with Limerick Hurlers and Limerick United and so on. So, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I suppose, Stephen, think back on it. You know, I lived in a house with five other fellas. Six of us were all playing intercounty or playing League of Ireland. Everybody in the house was an intercounty player in GA terms, either hurling or football, and with myself playing the soccer. So, you know, our whole lives revolved around sport, and our whole conversations at home and in the house that evening certainly wasn't around study. It was certainly around sport and around games. And yeah, absolutely. You know, you're immersed in it every day of the week. So that conversation, I'm sure, all of that was a help to all of us.
So Charlie, you continued on playing 80 to 82 with Sligo. And what happened after that then? Because you went to Finn Harps in 88. So you had a gap there of 5-6 years. What did you do then in your playing days in your 20s?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I was fortunate enough to be on that side that lost the final 81, or unfortunate, whichever way you wanted. And I suppose I was 20 years of age, quite content with life. I thought these cup finals and things would come around every year because of the group that was there being a strong group. At the same time, I was playing GA with Donegal under 21s. That year in 81, I would have capped Donegal to under 21 Ulster final. We lost to an Eamon McEnany inspired Monaghan team. But the beauty of it was that most of that team were underage the following year, including myself. So we're looking forward a year that we, you know, would have been a big year. We had people like Anthony Molloy, James McHugh, Martin McHugh, all those lads were playing in that same team. And unfortunately for me, I picked up a cruciate injury in the summer of 82, which meant that the following year I lost out not just on Sligo winning the FAI Cup, which they did the following year, but Donegal won the All-Ireland under 21 All-Ireland as well. So when I talk about ups and downs, Stephen, this was the real turning, the downturn of having such a serious injury at that time. I mean, at that stage, cruciates weren't known as cruciates. It was just you had a problem with your knee and you had to deal with it. So I certainly lost two full seasons, 2 years with that injury. And it took a big chunk out of my time. And when I returned, I went back to play with Harps in 80, sorry, to assist Harps, coaching Harps in 85, 84, 85 with Bobby Toland, who was manager at the time. So I became kind of coach. And then as my leg improved, even though it was never right, it improved to the extent that I started playing a bit again. So I played with Harps 84, 85. Quite a bit. I managed them at the end of 85 because Bobby was let go. So I finished up, I think, managing the team at 23 years of age for about 3 or 4 months. And then that summer, headed to America with my wife and Anula over for the summer, play a bit of football, Jay, in America. And when I came back, there was a change of management at Harps. I told them, obviously it was something I wasn't going to keep going at 23 or 24 years of age. And I came back and there was no spot for me at that stage because, as I say, my knee wouldn't have been exactly right at the time. And I went to Fannage United and spent 5 years, those 5 years with Fannage United playing intermediate football, which were an unbelievable 5 years of football. The best 5 years of my sporting life would have been those 5 years in Fannage, because all the lads that went to school together came back and played together. We were all that soccer team that would have played in school, played for 5 solid years. We would have won the Ulster Senior League for all of those years, and would have won the intermediate, the FAI intermediate, on 2 occasions during that time. So it was kind of a great time of football whereby you all enjoyed each other, had a great crack for playing the matches, and then maybe having the odd blowout then after matches the weekend. So quite a nice spell, Stephen. That takes care of that period of my life.
Brilliant stuff, Charlie. And just those early years, we've 3 songs to get through in Time Out here. And it is a time to look back, I suppose, during this period of COVID-19 lockdowns and all that. So is there a song, your first song choice for Time Out today? What is it?
Yeah, look, I think back, I have 3 children. Carl's the eldest of those children. So when Fionnuala was pregnant with Carl, we decided we'd go to a Garth Brooks concert in Dublin. He was quite popular at the time. So off we went up for the weekend to Dublin, little knowing that Carl had decided to push the clock forward a bit. So Fionnuala finished up not being able to attend the Garth Brooks concert. So I went with Orla, her sister, and we had a great outing because Cahill was born shortly after that. So my memory of Cahill's time being born in Dublin was around Garth Brooks. So I'd look at my memory of that particular concert would have been his good song, The Dance, which is which is a song that sticks with me over the times.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars above. For a moment all the world was right, and how could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the I if I'd only known how the king would fall. Hey, who's to say? You know I might have changed it all. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
Charlie, that song, The Dance, it's a time in your life you never forgot, really.
That is, I think, look, for everybody, look, you know, your children are your children, and they're the memories that stick with you. So it was both the concert being brilliant, which he was an exceptional artist, Garth Brooks. We obviously had the run. We're hoping to go back to him there a number of years ago, and even supposed to be in Croke Park, and of course that fell through. But with the birth of Cathal in Dublin at the time, and the concert, it was the start of family life, I suppose, Stephen, and thankfully all went well.
So we kind of fast forwarded there between the time you got married as well to your wife. So she's from Tipperary, and is that a reason you moved to Tipperary?
Well, look, I suppose, Stephen, Fionnuala had spent at that stage 14 years in Donegal, moving between jobs, and me kind of gone most of the time between Sligo and Finharps. Would have been on the road quite a bit all over those years, and when the opportunity, when I managed Harps between 94 and 99. Towards 2000, we lost a cup final, FAI Cup final, famous FAI Cup final in 99, where we played we had a trilogy. We played the cup final three times. We had a replay and a replay and lost the third one. It was like Groundhog Day, getting up in the morning, and the next week was leading to a cup final, and the following week was leading to a cup final. So eventually that took its toll. I left Harps halfway through the following season, and during the break, Fionnuala had a conversation, and she was keen on heading south, if at all possible, to Tipperary. So we made a decision with a young family at the time. If we were going to do it, that was the time to do it. So in 2002, we headed back down to Tipperary and into Clonmel.
Cool. And had either of you got jobs at that stage? Had you got a job? Because I know you've been teaching for many years and principal for many years in Clonmel now at this stage. But what was it like back then?
Yeah, I suppose, Stephen, that was my downfall. I had really no intention. My intention was that this wouldn't have happened, to be quite honest. I was being a Donegal man. I was quite happy where I was, but we kind of made a pact that if we both got a decent return on job positions, both of us, that we'd look at taking it. So fortunately or unfortunately, I finished up getting the deputy principal's position in the Central Technical Institute in Clonmel, and Fionnuala finished up as you know, Stephen, as my boss in the period after that. The following couple of months, she became CEO in TIP, so of the ETB. So we moved here in 2002, and I suppose I've never looked back. Look, it's a little bit different Donegal in the sense that they call it the sunny southeast, I suppose. It's far removed from the wild, windswept areas of Donegal. So I suppose that's one advantage of coming down the Sens, Stephen.
Like, that must have been a massive jump to give up being a manager of a famous club in the League of Ireland, one of the most famous soccer teams and clubs, and your whole life in Donegal to move down. Like, did you miss that time in management? Did you miss being, you know, the going to different places around Ireland as a soccer manager and all that went with it?
Well, it's a balancing act, Stephen. Like, I mean, everybody has a different phases in everybody's life, you know. And at that stage, my family were beginning to grow. My children were growing. We needed to set down roots, and the decision was that Clonmel would be where we sat. We'd set down those roots. My three children went to the Gaelic School in Clonmel. We both started working in Tipperary, and I suppose yes, I would have felt that I was living nearly a single life up until then, because priority would have been, I think at the time, I'm sure I actually was, I think it was the only part-time manager in the Premier Division, the League of Ireland, for that period of time. Every other manager would have been full-time. It would have been their prime earner. And for me, I maintained my teaching job and would have worked on it part-time. And essentially, I had to leave that behind. And yeah, it was difficult enough to leave behind because I'd been immersed in football and in coaching from day one, I suppose. And that was difficult. But, you know, having become deputy principal in Clonmel and the following year becoming principal, then as anybody that's been in that position will know, there's a lot of time that goes into that, and you're settling in time and getting to know everything in relation to that job. What was the priority for that for the next number of years was to really settle into your job and take that as being your priority, and I suppose having nothing else really to get in the way of that, which is what happened over the next couple of years while we settled into Clonmel.
So I know you've managed Tipperary teams and you managed teams in Clonmel as well, but to be manager at League of Ireland level and travelling around Ireland and planning out things, would you have a lot of details that you had to work on across matches from week to week, season to season, you know, bringing in right backs or bringing in a striker who isn't scoring, transfer market? What was it all like? That must be just fascinating.
Yeah, look, there are comparisons with all sports, obviously, and there are obviously differences, and I suppose the big difference between the GA and soccer is that in GA, players tend to, there's little movement, as you know, Stephen. Like your club is your club, there's not a lot of movement between clubs, and then your county is your county, and very little movement between counties. Whereas with soccer and with League of Ireland clubs, you are constantly in the lookout for change. Change happens every year. I mean, at that stage, people had 2 or 3 year contracts when I was there. Obviously, it was, you know, continuity was important. I think over the last number of years, League of Ireland has changed to the extent that very few players have rolling contracts. Their contracts change almost on an annual basis because they don't want to pay 52 weeks a year. So there's kind of there is a changing format there. Compared to being a club manager or a county GA manager, you have to work with the raw material you have. As a soccer manager within the League of Ireland, you have not only at that time would you have to manage or coach, but you also had to play the job of transfers, of playing in the transfer market as being that person. So, you know, that would have been a very important part of the job, and making sure that you acquired the best players that you could for the budget that you had. So, you know, your managerial skills and your coaching skills had to be matched by your ability in the transfer market, as both being able to pick up players that and judge if players were good enough or not good enough or could improve the system that you had. So yeah, there was quite a bit of that going on, and trying to entice players to Donegal, not the easiest thing to do. To move to the Northwest, we'd have worked hard at trying to get young fellas that had left Donegal to go over to England or Scotland to get them back and play for us. And we would pick up the odd great nugget in around Dublin area who at the time had obviously most of the players. So yeah, there was quite a bit of toing and froing in relation to the transfer market, Stephen.
Charlie, then you moved down, so you had your job down in Clonmel, Fionnuala was there as well, and your family alongside you, and the managerial bug just never left you, really. That just got in. And how did you get involved with Clonmel Commercials and Tipperary down the line, or did you still harbour ambitions to play even at that? You must be what, early 30s?
Stephen, the playing days were gone. I for sure I was just heading into the 40s when I came down here. And I think the first year was, I think for the first year I did very little, obviously. I could say for the first 2 years, I think, in terms of concentrating on the school. But after that, I got a call from Maurice Welch here in Clonmel, who was involved with Clonmel Town, with the soccer side. So we had a chat and decided, yeah, it was an opportunity to not try and put some of the work that you put in before to good use. So I myself and Billy Lamb took over. Billy was already with Clonmel Town at the time, so myself and Billy combined to take charge of Clonmel Town for the next 5 years, actually. Six years, I think, we did as a combination with Clonmel Town, and had quite a successful period with Town. It was great opportunity for me, I suppose, to get involved in the town and get to know people in the town, Stephen. When you move to a new town, it's important to make those connections. So that was how it happened in terms of soccer. And then, I suppose, from GA's perspective, at that stage, my eldest was beginning to play underage, and Commercials was the club, would have been Fionnuala's family's club as well. So that would have been the start of the connections with, there were people in that club already your one of your own people there, Martin Quinlivan, would have been heavily involved in underage sport in Clonmel in my early days. He brought a couple of teams over to the Danone Cup in France. Great achievement, like an unbelievable achievement with an underage group from Clonmel representing Ireland at that stage. And you had people like Tommy Kelly, Brian White, seriously involved at underage, developing underage players with Clonmel Commercials. And I suppose the culmination with that would have been the group that are there at the minute at senior level, who have achieved quite a bit at underage level leading up to that. So again, like I said earlier, one of the themes for me, Stephen, has been very fortunate to be in positions where there were some unbelievable squads of players available. In Donegal, in my time, we had some great squads with Schools, with Harps, with Sligo, all exceptionally good teams, some of the better teams that they've had. And coming to Clonmel, I was fortunate enough to have an exceptionally good soccer group with Clonmel Town and a really talented young group of players with Commercials. So, you know, that's part of your makeup. You can be lucky enough to fall into those positions.
You had a lot of success, really. You went for the FAI Junior Cup all the time with Clonmel Town. Is that right? Around that era.
Yeah, it was one of the things in my agenda, Stephen. I suppose I'd won the Youth Cup with Fannad, and Senior Cups were there with Sligo and Finharps for quite a bit, and the Intermediate Cup I'd won back with Sligo before that. So I'd never been involved in junior football at any point. So we had our eyes set on that competition. Unfortunately, in that period of time, we had reached the semi-final stages at one stage, and we played St. Peter's of Athlone. We should have won that match. Actually, it was one of the downturns of Clonmel Town at the time. One of the big disappointments was that year, because we had an exceptional squad. I suppose the base of that team would have been Stephen O'Neill in goals, and the Scullies around the middle field and up front, Paul and Tony. So we had a very strong team at that stage. And unfortunately, as I say, we just didn't get there.
You kind of worked alongside Commercials and Clonmel Town, really. You had both sports going and were managing both teams, really, with the same bunch of players, essentially, like Mikey Quinlivan, is that fair to say? And a lot of players that played football with Tip now that were exceptionally good soccer players as well.
Yeah, well, what I'd say is that at underage, Stephen, all those lads would have played both soccer and Gaelic football. Yes, at underage level, there would have been I would have been involved with the commercial, or sorry, with the Clonmel Town senior team. A lot of the lads wouldn't have been playing senior at that stage. They would have been playing, that group would have been a bit on the young side. And I suppose that their decision had to be made when they came out of underage minor, like it should be. In my estimation, that's when decisions are made by players when they come out of, we'll say, into their 19, 20 years of age. They have to concentrate on one or the other. And a lot of those lads would have either gone down the soccer route or for like some Michael and the Kennedys, Seamus and Jack, and all those would have gone down the GAA end of things. So, in the younger years, they would have been playing both, absolutely, and had great success at both.
Is there a song that reminds you of that period, or what is your second song choice, and have you a reason for it?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Stephen, as you say, I've left where I grew up, and where, as I said already, it's not easy to get Donegal people out of Donegal, and I made that move down to here. But my roots will always be there. So every time we look at Donegal, you know, you have to think of your time there. And I suppose when I do, there's a pub up beside us there, a famous pub not far from us at home called Chach Leo. It belongs to the Clannad family, the Brennan family, who are essentially Clannad, and it's just a musical pub. That's what it is. And I remember being there once upon a time. Paul Brady was appearing there, and he sang "The Homes of Donegal," which is a song that's dear to my heart in relation to Donegal. So whenever we think of Donegal and our roots there, Paul Brady always comes into mind, and him singing "The Homes of Donegal."
Beautiful stuff. Here it is, "The Homes of Donegal," the choice of Charlie McGeever.
I just dropped in to see you all. I'll only stay. I want to hear how you're getting. I'm happy to be back again and greet you, big and small. For there's no place else on earth just like the homes of Donegal. Standing by the door, the kettle boiling on the hearth as I walk up the floor, and then to see a welcome free for travelers one and all. For your hearts are like your mountains in the homes of Donegal. I like to stay along with you a while. Fairy lore and tales of yore, be silent or fire right. And then to seal it and for me a shakedown by the wall. For
and that was the great Paul Brady there with the Homes of Donegal. Charlie, Donegal won the All-Ireland in 1992. Tipperary won the Hurling 1991. That era must have been huge in Donegal, really, for people there, because you had never won it before. It was like Killarney for Tipperary supporters. And, you know, 2010, 2016 all rolled into one, and 2019's win as well.
It was unbelievable, I suppose. Jay, as I say, you know, they live hand in glove with soccer in Donegal. And they're like, I think, thinking back to our time in 82, 83, that would have been the breakthrough for Donegal, was winning that All-Ireland Under-21 championship at that stage. And the 92 team would have been based on that. That would have been the foundation, the likes of Anthony Malloy and the likes of Martin McHugh and James McHugh would have been. And the second group then would have been the next Donegal team to win the All-Ireland Under-21. I think they won it in 86, 87. And that group of players, a number of them would have gone to, I would have had in school in Falkara where I taught for my first 10 years of teaching. The 92 team was a combination of those two squads. I think to win All-Ireland, the work has to be done at underage, Stephen. And if it's not done, it won't. Like, very few teams, rarely will a county do well at inter-county level without having those teams do well at underage level. So Donegal were fortunate enough to take a number of good players from those two teams. It's just a pity that it took a number of years to kick on from there. But an exceptional manager in Brian McInniff, who's Mr. G in Donegal, like he was manager at the time. I remember one of the funny stories about the All-Ireland final is that we had three tickets to myself and Ula, and we brought a friend of ours from Donegal who was one of my soccer friends, who wasn't very much into Jay, and went with me and watched the match on the, I think we were in the Hogan stand, and he just didn't understand. But it was strange to feel that somebody didn't know the exact rules of Jay, like in that day and age. But he was very much a soccer man, so it was a big occasion for him to be there for the All-Ireland in 92, as it was for all of us. And I suppose Donegal was a very strange place after that for a number of months, Stephen. I can tell you, I remember being in the Diamond in Donegal town when they came home on the Monday night, and a crowd never would have gotten in the square in the Diamond in Donegal that night. It went on to the morning. So, as you know, it's the same when there's a long famine or whatever it might be called in any county. You know, the celebrations are huge afterwards.
Brilliant stuff. And you had that, of course, in 2020 as well, Charlie, then with the Tipperary Footballers. But as we come on to that, I suppose you got involved with commercials then, and you've been manager there for how long now? And you've had so much success. You've been winning counties left, right and centre, really.
Look, Stephen, I suppose in there, a lot of people will say too long with that in mind. But yeah, that underage group that were there, as I say, very successful, would have been successful all the years up from 14 right through to 16, minor, 21. So that current group of players who are now mostly in their mid-20s, they've achieved quite a bit. I suppose I was fortunate enough to be asked in there in 2015. I was still with the Tip Miners at the time, but Kevin Harney was captain at the time and captain of that team for those years. We sat down together and decided we'd have a go cut at it, and we even though it was our first year, we did put the Munster Championship kind of on the table a little bit, because there was a pathway there, like the draw was already made, so you kind of an idea that you could, if you were successful enough at the county level, to do that. And look, fortunately for us that year, we achieved that. We had a good run all the way through. To win any competition, Stephen, in GAA, it's a knockout competition, and you'll always have your ups and downs. Like in that run, like we played Moy Rovers in the county final. We were lucky to, it was a great game, but we were lucky to get out of there by a point. We were dead and buried against Newcastle West in Clonmel in the Munster quarter-final. We were 3 or 4 points down with 3 or 4 minutes to go, and we pulled that out of the hat. And then we had that great occasion down in Mallow to win it for the first time, which, look, I suppose not being an out and out commercials person, I suppose having not been brought up in Clonmel, I didn't realise how important that day was for the club and for players that attached to the club, and for anybody that was attached to the club, because I saw emotions that day that I hadn't seen before, and it really was astonishing, I suppose, the aftermath of that game, because it was the culmination of a lot of years put into the club by a lot of people. Like, I mean, Clonmel Commercials have a long history, I suppose. You've John McNamara Senior, you've Joe and John McNamara now following his footsteps, Derek Wilkinson, George Barry, a lot of Tommy Morrissey, who's treasurer at the minute, who had played with the team at that stage before that. So all these people and all the players that went before, all their top players that went before that, never got that opportunity. So it's a big occasion. And, you know, I think the standard of football in Tipperary is at a very high level. Anyone who's been to our last two meetings with Loughmore in particular, the county final last year, county semi-final the year before, I would put those two games up at a level that any other county would be proud of in Ireland, no matter Kerry or Dublin or anywhere else. I think the quality of play in those two games was exceptional.
And Charlie, would you notice much difference between the year before with the crowd there, you know, cheering on everything, and then last year in the time of COVID, playing with no crowd there for the Tipperary match against Cork in the Munster final, and for a year county final win against Loughmore, which, you know, a minute crowd compared to what you would have had in previous years. Does the crowd matter like that?
Well, look, I think it matters for the crowd. I genuinely, Stephen, don't think it matters for the players. And the reason is that your aim is the competition. Like, it's the 30 players over the whitewash out onto the field. I think from the manager's perspective, it's the same. I think the only difference is, Stephen, that I can be very loud, as you know. And I think I'm better with a crowd there, because if there's a crowd there, people don't hear me. I've been known to get a bit excited on the sideline, indeed, maybe even in the commentary box. But I think it hasn't mattered much. I think the quality, I don't think that the game has suffered in relation to quality, Stephen, because let's look at it. I don't think you'll ever get two county finals like you got this year in both football and hurling this county. And with that in mind, I have to think that to congratulate the county board last year. I said it to the people that matter, to be sure. And to those in charge of the county, they did an exceptional job in getting the two competitions played last summer. I don't care what anybody says, they got it to a T, they got it played. They gave the counties a chance then to prepare for their assault on the hurling and football Munster Championships. And it was without question, I think, the best tournament that's been played, certainly from a football perspective and indeed from a hurling perspective, because I watched all the hurling matches. I think they got it. They did John Devan and the people in charge at the time deserve, Tim Floyd, deserve nothing but credit. I've been critical at times in my lifetime around things in Tipperary, but I think they did an exceptional job last summer. And I think that's that Stephen, is the template for going forward with all club and county tournaments. I think it takes away this in and out business of not being sure about when we're playing. I think you keep it tight, structure is good, and you get matches like you got last year. I think, again, the Munster final that we played against Cork, even the Cork match against Kerry, so they were as exciting as any match if there was a full house. And I think the players, Stephen, some of them, the weight of the crowd off them, I think makes them maybe even play better now that they perform better. I think there are players out there that with that noose away from around their neck, that they improve and they're when they're on show on the big occasion. And I think that showed for us last year. And I think that played its part in both the club winning the county and the county winning the Munster title.
Great stuff, Charlie. I could talk to you for hours, but we just have the hour here for Time Out. Just another topic, I suppose, that's huge in GAA at the moment is the dual player, and it is something really that has been touched on a lot. You're in a unique position, I suppose, having come from Donegal, being a League of Ireland player and manager in a different sport, and proven successful in Gaelic football as well, involved with the Tipperary Seniors success last year and with commercials. Your thoughts on the dual player? Does it do the games complement each other, or have you to specialise? What's your thoughts on it all?
I think they all complement each other always. I think I wouldn't be in as good a player as I was if I didn't play one or the other. I think they both complemented each other. I think that from a county's perspective, when we look back on 2015, the two minor teams reaching All-Ireland finals, I think both groups were exceptional groups. I know we got quite a beating in an All-Ireland final, but we were definitely the second best team in the country that year because we had to beat the champions of Connacht in Galway and the champions of Leinster in Kildare to get there. So I've no doubt we were. On the day, we didn't perform. But up until then, we had played an exceptional year. And a number of those players, Jack Kennedy, Emmett Maloney, that progressed on to senior level. The same with Liam Cahill. Liam Cahill's group were exceptional, and Liam had great success from that group going on to under 20 and 21s and through to senior. So I really don't understand why it's an issue or why it's even been discussed, to be quite honest, because I think every player should be given the opportunity to play what they can up until they're old enough and bold enough and know where their future lies before they make that decision. Because if you make a decision like that too early, Stephen, there's no going back nearly. If you kind of put one aside for 2 or 3 years, the chances of regrouping is it's going to be slow at the least. And we've seen that with some of the dual players that have given up one sport and moved on to the other sport. We look at how strong our team would be in Tipperary football with some of those dual players and what they've brought to the table. But it's taken time to get people to there. There's a slow return, I suppose, at times, and they lose out on a couple of years there. But look, I look at people like I said to you earlier, they're the most talented people. And I look at people like Seamus Kennedy in Clonmel. I mean, Seamus Kennedy over the last, 6 or 7 years, going back to 2015, he was the best club footballer in Tipperary in 2015 during that run. He was man of the match on a numerous occasions. Went on the following year to win an All-Ireland hurling medal with Tip. Has added to that since. Has added a Munster title to it in terms of football, club football. Every summer he turns out he's one of our top players. And he's very adept at both of them. And I think one complements the other with Seamus as well. Because I think you have to be technically gifted to be an exceptional hurler. I think there are other attributes that you need to be an exceptional footballer to add to that. And I think that the same applies if you're a good rugby player or if you're a good soccer player. I think they all finish. And I'm thinking of players at the minute that are coming through that are good dual players, and you hope that they get the opportunity to finish out their time at whichever one they choose at the right time.
You've been a huge benefit to TIP football. Are you happy looking back that you moved to TIP?
Well, my mother wouldn't agree, maybe, but it was a big wrench at the time to move from there. But I'd probably be comfortable no matter where I lay down my hat, because I think if you're involved in sport, you've always got a great key to open a lot of doors. If you're involved in sport in any shape or form, you'll know that yourself. If there's something, because Irish people are passionate about sport, no matter what it is, and there's always a welcome for people, regardless of what sport you are, no matter where you lay your hat. But certainly I've enjoyed my time at TIP. I said to you earlier, I've been fortunate all my life to be in a position where I've been, a lot of good players have been there at the same time. And I hope that continues for a couple of years more, Stephen, because I do think Tipperary have, in terms of both football and hurling, have a big future. And I think this football squad at the minute have more miles in them to travel and even better days ahead. And I think that those that have come back have added to it, and we've younger players hopefully ready to come in and join the squad this year. So we're looking for a good year ahead of us, Stephen, and hopefully more success.
Brilliant stuff, Charlie. Just finally, with COVID, will we be back in the fields? How important is it, you know, as a former school principal and as a coach, how important is it for kids to be out playing games and involved this summer, do you think?
I think it's vital, Stephen, no doubt about it. And the quicker, like I look at it at the minute, if schools are going to stay open and they're in a closed environment in classrooms, why aren't the same age groups able to get out onto a field where there's less of a problem and there's less of a chance of something happening? I think that if schools, please God, stay open, then children at all ages up to minor level, I suppose, should be out in the fields at the stage. I think for those older, the people who have made the big difference really are the strength and conditioning people involved in clubs, Stephen, and the physios and nutritionists, those people who normally, you know, fit in with the coaching. There's very little coaching going on while the players are getting ready. Think of the others behind the scenes who have to get them ready, Stephen, I suppose. So hopefully between that and the teachers and the coaches at all age levels, we'll see them all out in the fields over the next couple of months, blowing their whistles and getting players ready for championship.
Superb. An absolute pleasure talking to you, Charlie McGeever. Just to finish up, Charlie, you have one more song to pick for Time Out today with me, Stephen Gleeson. So what's it going to be, Charlie McGeever, your third choice?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be selfish this time, Stephen, and say, look, for me, my music taste, I'm kind of a bit into the guitar playing, and I don't play guitar now at all, but I like guitar music, and I suppose my favourite group always has been Dire Straits. I'm a great fan of Martin Offler as a guitar player. I think he's an exceptional guitar player, and nothing sums that up better than Sultans of Swing, which is probably my favourite song. So I wouldn't mind signing off with that, if you don't mind.
Brilliant stuff. Here it is, Dire Straits, Sultans of Swing. Charlie McGeever, thanks so much, and hope we see you on the fields shortly.
Stephen, thanks a million. It's been great talking to you. Thanks a million.
Shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Inside, but you don't see too many faces coming in out of the rain. They hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound way on down south. Guitar George, he knows all the chords. But it's strictly rhythm, he doesn't wanna make it cry or sing. If then an old guitar is all he can afford, when he gets up under the lights to play his